The religion that has to be supported by law is without value, not only, but a fraud and a curse. The religious argument that has to be supported by a musket is hardly worth making. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week. I know I did. However, Amy's not with us this week. But we do have a good friend of mine, and hopefully one to be yours, your friend as well. That would be Tom Smith of Secular Radio. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Well, thanks, Robert. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. I've actually been trying to think about getting you on the show for a while, and I finally had the opportunity with Amy gone.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been setting up here in Oak Harbor on Whidbey Island, just cooling my heels. I haven't I haven't done much of anything for the past year, and this feels good. It feels fun to be back on the mic and back in touch with you. I know we probably haven't spoken for the last year or so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while. I've been busy, you know, running my little projects and doing things, but yeah, this is great to talk to you again.
You have a few of those going on.
I do. Amy's trying to make me curtail them, but you know, I'm fighting back.
I understand. It's the rebel in you. You can't sit still.
That is true. All right. Speaking of not sitting still, let's move to our Twitterers. And we got a few this week, which is kind of cool. So I've got Runaway Christian, Monica Zhang, Tay Zonde, Ryan Recker, Social Podcast, Gary Joseph Show, Tommy Stevenson, Dan Cody, the Dan and Cody Podcast, and David the Producer. So those are our Twitter followers for this week. Thank you very much for joining us. And if you want to follow us, you can always follow us at Secular Yakking. I would have asked Tom, but that would just be silly. Because Amy doesn't get it right either.
Okay.
Tom, while we're here, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us, you know, where you came from, secular radio and stuff like that.
Well, I did in the beginning, I did a show called Secular Radio where I talked about, you know, atheism, religion, government, the same kind of things that we all like to talk about. And in the beginning, it was actually a radio show. It was on KWPA Radio, a station that was a nonprofit station based on Oak Harbor, right here in Whidbey Island in Washington. But, you know, nonprofit means we didn't take advertising. We had to generate the funds to keep the station going, and we just couldn't do it. I think I lasted about a year and a half on that station before the station itself folded. And then I started doing a podcast of my own. Did that for about a year. But that was about a year ago. I haven't been on the radio. I haven't been on the air since then. I've just been, as you said, just getting on with life and doing the things we have to do, go to work, pay the bills, cut the grass, you know, all the fun things that we love to do in life. And I missed having a microphone in front of me. So when I heard that you might possibly need someone to step in, for Amy being on vacation this week, boy, I jumped at the chance. I'm happy to be here and to start talking again. But a little bit about myself. I'm 57 years old. I come from a Christian family, Christian upbringing, you know, Pentecostal church back in Virginia my whole life. Even though all of my family and literally everybody I knew was a Christian, it just never took with me, even as a child. I've never believed in God. I didn't have to convert from a Christian to an atheist. I was never a Christian. I tried. I wanted to be a Christian. I went to church as a kid, went to Sunday school. I did all of that stuff. I just never, for whatever reason, I never believed in a God. And it wasn't because I was particularly bright or anything. I was a normal kid. I believed in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and all those other things that kids believe in. I just never believed in a god for whatever reason. I'm not complaining. I'm happy it never took. But that's a little bit about me. And I didn't come out to my family until I was about 40 years old. So we don't have any issues. We get along great. No one has shunned me or.
You're far better off there than I am. I've been shunned by a significant part of my family. So,
is that right?
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. I still haven't talked to my brother in 7 years.
Wow.
And I don't talk to my family hardly at all anymore.
Because I remember you're from back east too, right?
Yeah, I'm from North Carolina. So.
Wow, that's a shame. I didn't know that. I mean,
yeah. It's the way it is. I just deal with it.
Yeah.
Talk to my parents on holidays and that's about it.
Wow. Do you ever visit with any of your family members?
I haven't been back to North Carolina in 14 years.
Hmm. Wow. Do you want
to come out?
Do you want to visit with them?
No, I really don't want to go back. I don't have anything really drawing me there. Now my parents have come out here a couple times. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like we're completely, not talking. We just don't talk. We never were a talking kind of family. So just kind of separated. It's the way it is.
I know. My family's the same way. And I guess I'm really lucky as an atheist who came out. The attitude of my family was, well, okay, that's nice. We don't really care. And what else are you doing? It really wasn't. And it's really funny because they're all Christians. Everyone in my family is a Christian, church going folk. But they just, with one exception, nobody in my family made a fuss at all. And I just really consider myself fortunate that way. When I go back at least once a year, and it just never comes up in discussion. And I feel really lucky about that because
it's
the last thing I want to do is argue with my family.
Yeah, I lost count. A number of people have told me that their family doesn't speak to them. Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
All right. I think we'll move on to some news.
Cool.
Okay. So our first story is a cross is coming down. The American Humane Association and Freedom From Religion Foundation has sued the city of Pensacola last year on behalf of four local residents who asserted that the cross, which has been displayed at Bayview Park for over 70 years maintained by the city, violates the separation of church state. However, attorneys for the city argued in court that the cross is simply a long-standing part of Pensacola's history and has never been construed as favoring one religion over another. I have a serious issue with that. And I think the courts in this case agrees with me. The judge, a Reagan appointee, who reluctantly ruled that the cross is a violation. He said, it is a Latin cross that was completed by and dedicated at an Easter sunrise service. I think that's pretty Christian.
I think if it was dedicated at a sunrise service, that sort of kills their argument that it wasn't a particular religion being I guess, honored or whatever you want to call it. I mean, that's...
Yeah, pretty much. But that and the fact that it's a Latin cross. I mean, it is the symbol of Christianity.
Yeah, and I think I remember stories in the past where this same kind of argument was made, that the cross was not necessarily a Christian or a religious symbol, but just a symbol of remembrance. I'm thinking of that big cross down in San Diego, the huge one that sits up on top of the hill.
Yeah.
Same argument there. They argue that it's not a Christian cross. It's just it's a symbol of a remembrance or something like that.
Yeah, they like to say that it's they especially like to say, well, it's remembering our fallen soldiers. They love to do that.
Yes,
and I
yes.
don't know how many times I've seen that.
Yeah, honoring our warriors or something of that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which completely dismisses every other religion because no other religion uses the cross.
Exactly, exactly. It's I think it's the attitude. It's like it's the assumption that everyone believes in the God that I do. Or the religion that I do, so why aren't you honored? You should be honored. You should be happy.
Yeah. Well, the judge goes on to say, the mayor has said that he does not want the cross taken down specifically because it hopes there will, quote, always be a place for religion in public square. That pretty much points out that this is a religious symbol. I mean, it really is.
See, it's religion when they want it to be, but when we point it out, suddenly it's not religion.
Yeah, it's I run into the exact same thing within God We Trust.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've heard that argument. They'll come up and say, we're a religious nation, we're a Christian nation. Look, we have a God We Trust on our money. Obviously, we're a Christian nation. And then I come in and say, hey, you can't have religious symbology on government property. So, it's not religious. It's a secular motto. Are you kidding me? No, that's not true. You just said 5 minutes ago that, you know, it's a Christian nation.
That happens all the time. I guess that's their line of argument. It happens all the time.
And they don't see the hypocrisy in it. And I can't get them to see it. As many times as I've tried, I can't get them to see that their line of thinking is exactly contradictory to the line of thinking they're trying to use on me. It's,
you know,
frustrating.
And I'd have to say nobody has tried harder than you because of, you know, the original motto project. It's like an ongoing workload for you. I get that. Do you think honestly that they do see it, that they do know it's hypocritical, but at this point they have such an advantage, they have so much support for them that they don't even care. They can just keep repeating the mantra, even though they don't even believe it, but they know they're going to get support from the people, the voters, and so they just stick with it because really they don't have another argument. Do you think that they're just, I guess what I'm saying is, you think they're lying to us and to themselves?
Absolutely. I honestly think I do. And that's how the Potter War Commitment came about, because of Clark County. I know that guy that had put it up knew exactly the arguments he was making.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, so frustrating. And when I do those arguments against them, I can see it in their face. Like, oh, I can't believe I just said that, but I'm just going to keep going on. I'm like,
I mean, it's one thing to be dishonest toward your opponent or towards somebody else, but you know, basically they're being dishonest with themselves. They know they're lying, and yet they want to keep doing it at the same time, claiming to be a Christian while they're lying.
Speaking of claiming to be Christians, that brings us to our second story of the day. Lawyer in Pensacola case being harassed online. As we heard in the last story, the cross in Pensacola is coming down, but a lot of local Christians are not happy about that. And so they applied WWJD properly and began harassing the legal staff of the AHA. Specifically, they targeted senior counsel Monica Miller. And one of the posts went viral was from a local professional fish catcher, Lou Cobbs, with over 13,000 shares and 700 comments. So he shared a couple pictures of Ms. Miller and wrote, "Here is the idiot attorney that fought for removal of a cross in Pensacola. Let's make her famous and run her out of town." This is typical Christian tactics. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this post?
I did. And while it's horrible, I don't get, I mean, it's horrible for Miss Miller to have to put up with this, but from the outside, I'm just going to say it. I don't really care what a professional fish catcher has to say about anything. I really don't. Go catch some fish, Lou. Guy's name is Lou, right?
Yeah, Lou.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's his current profession. He used to be a corrections officer or something like that. Frustrating guy.
So he was a professional fish catcher of a different type, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So now he just catches regular fish. So Cobb said he never meant her harm and didn't, he apparently didn't realize she wasn't from Pensacola, but he was trying to make sure that people didn't use her business. But that, I don't even think that's the point.
Well, you know, and again, just as we talked about in the previous story about people lying, I question these people's sincerity. Here's a guy who was what was his job? He was retired from it. Was in law enforcement,
correctional officer.
So he knows a threat when he hears. He knows legally what constitutes a threat. And now he threatens her, and then he turns around and says he meant her no harm. Well,
right.
I'm sorry, you're lying. You know what a threat is. You know?
Exactly. I have no problem calling these people out who do that. Yeah. In fact, many of the comments attacked Miller with derogatory names and gun emojis. One comment even asked for violence, wishing her death. So, yeah, I grabbed a couple of them. Here's one. It says, "Atheist, moron, hypocrite. Needs to go bye-bye, like, to Afghanistan or Iraq." Which, a couple misspelled words in there, like you expect.
Shocking.
Yeah. She looks like she thinks she's beautiful and sexy. She is ugly as sin, literally. I'm like, okay, what does that have to do with her arguments? But whatever. And then the last one, which just brought everything together from this post. It's just a shame nobody made her famous and turned her into a hit-and-run victim. Now, there's some Christian love for you.
Christian love for you, yeah. If you, man, just the same old typical threats. I lost the fight. I lost the argument. So now I'm going to threaten you. It's just,
yeah,
it's disgusting. But
and we see this every single time a judge rules in favor of separation of church and state.
Yeah, I wonder. It would be so refreshing just once to hear one of the religious persons who was arguing for the cross to say, well, we lost this one. Better luck next time. We'll fight you. Something like that. You know, we'll fight you on the next front instead of the threats. Why do they go to the threats? You know,
right?
It's like they've run out of argument. They've run out of ideas. So now all I can do is attack you. But
yeah,
you know what, Robert? I really like Miss Miller's reply, Monica Miller, when they ask her to comment. They ask her basically, "Don't you want to wave your victory in their face?" Kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
She said, "No, I thank my supporters, many of which are Christians," and that was it. And that's like a mic drop moment, you know. I won the battle.
Exactly.
I won my case. Thank you for your support. And by the way, gentlemen, get that cross out of there. See ya.
Yeah, and that's what we should do. I mean, we don't, because whenever they win, they wave about in their face. They gloat about it. They, you know, have big, huge rallies saying, "Hey, look, we won! Yay!" Right. Mm-hmm. What do? We say, well, all right, better luck next time. We don't go in and, you know, threaten to run them over.
That's really important. I think what you're saying, and I agree with you, we try to not take it personally. Even though, as we just, in the story you just did, even though we often get threatened afterwards, we still try to not take it personally. It's right. The FFRF doesn't fight religion. It fights against unconstitutional acts,
right?
And the people aren't the enemy. It's this action. It's this display of religion. That's the problem. That's the issue. And try to keep it at a non-personal level. But you're right. I mean, time after time, whenever the religious right, they win a victory, oh man, they have to crow about it all over their radio stations, their TV stations, their rallies. They'll let the world know that they beat the atheists. You know,
every single time. Evil.
Has God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster "In God We Trust" on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an "In God We Trust" decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
You brought us a couple stories, so do you want to read those?
I did. I will talk about it. I just want to say I'm so impressed that you could actually get James Earl Jones to do your original motto plug. That's really cool, man. You have connections, for sure.
I do.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I think they do great work all over the country. Well, they've done some great work in Kansas because, well, let me just tell you what happened. So this past January the 31st in Chelan, Kansas, they had a high school basketball game between Chelan and Wesken. Hope I'm pronouncing those names right. And after the high school basketball game, the coaches and the players all got together at center court and they prayed.
Really?
And the prayer was led by the coaches, apparently, which that's where the illegal activity occurs. public school athletic coaches cannot lead their teams in prayers. The U.S. Supreme Court has continually struck down school-sponsored prayer in public schools. Well, someone in the game that night witnessed it, and they contacted the Freedom From Religion Foundation. It was then that an attorney with the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Chris Line, fired off a letter to the superintendent of Shaolin Unified School District, Alair Homburg, and that letter read in part, It is unconstitutional for public school employees to participate in the religious activities of their students. Federal courts have held that even a public school coach's silent participation in student prayer circles is unconstitutional. So the FFRF asked the school district to immediately investigate and take swift action to stop the school-sponsored prayers. Well, you know, apparently the school district took the FFRF's objection seriously because Superintendent Homburg responded in an email with a very firm promise. Homburg said, "You have my assurance that this will not happen again." Afterwards, yeah. FFRF co-president Annie Laurie Gaylor said, "It's our purpose to point out constitutional violations to public officials. It's especially gratifying when they respond so decisively in the right manner." Now, I just want to say this about this story. It's a typical, this kind of thing happens almost daily somewhere in this country. I would say certainly weekly we have instances of school coaches or sometimes even teachers leading the classroom or leading the team in prayer. And I've done a lot of stories like this where typically there's back and forth between the lawyers. And you get kickback from the particular school district. No, that never happened. And then you'll hear them say, "Well, it happened, but it's not against the rules because of X, Y, or Z." There's this fight. There's this pushback. Eventually, when the rubber meets the road, when it gets down to cases, as they say, eventually the school district will give in and admit that they were wrong, and then they'll say, "Okay, well, stop it." But in this case, I mean, it was like immediately. Yeah. Superintendent Homburg noticed right away something was wrong and said, "We're not going to do it anymore." That's pretty rare. That's what makes this story so special to me. That never happens. And I'm hoping it's a good sign. Maybe these school officials are finally starting to get it, you know?
Yeah. It reminds me of the Bremerton coach we had out here last year.
Oh, the football coach.
Yeah. Went through kind of the same thing because they sent off a letter. It happened almost exactly as you describe it, except for at some point the school district said, "Yeah, we're wrong. We're going to make sure it doesn't happen again." And then the coach did it again anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they ended up having to suspend him.
And that was kind of unusual too, because the district clearly recognized there was something wrong in that case, but the coach just sort of became the rebel and he did it anyway. He went against. If you remember that, Robert, there was a lot of locally here, there was a lot of publicity about that. I mean, that guy was on the news. He was being interviewed by the TV, the radio. Everybody had a mic in front of that coach. He was kind of he was enjoying the moment. He was a celebrity, you know.
Yeah. So here, I've got a weird theory about that because I followed that pretty closely. Initially, he said he wasn't going to do prayers anymore. And then I want to say the American Family Association got a hold of him and said, "Hey, we will represent you in court if you, you know, this big issue." He says, "Oh, okay, we're going to go back to doing prayers." So it leads me to believe that he knew what he was doing was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But once he got legal protection or supposed legal protection, he's like, "Okay, let's do this thing." I have this feeling that someone from the AFA convinced him that what he was doing was right.
Yeah.
So that's my feeling on it. I could be wrong, but.
So in other words, he was probably on the verge of just dropping it anyway. And then they come along and prop him up and say, "Oh, no, no, no. You're our man. You're our spokesman. You're the guy. You're the man of the hour." Right. Yeah. I kind of think that's the case.
I can certainly see the AFA doing something like that. And I actually know that they have done that in the past. Hmm. So that's kind of what they do.
But anyway, yeah, this was an unusual response that it was so effective, and I said, maybe it's a sign of things to come. Maybe this will become the norm instead of the oddity that it is.
Yeah, well, I know the FFRF prefers for it to stop at the letter because then no one loses any money. It's a letter, you know,
and they don't have to waste time fighting it in court and all the travel and the expenses and. It kind of boils down to, why can't people just follow the Constitution? You know,
right? You know, I can understand if people are confused and they don't quite understand it, and then once they're made aware, why do they keep fighting against it so hard? It doesn't make sense to me.
It goes back kind of to what you just said. Maybe in many cases they do learn and they're ready to drop the ball, but in comes an outside group saying, you know, a religious group saying, wait a minute, you have an argument here. Let us help you. Let us be your mouthpiece or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just frustrating.
It is. It really is. Keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
So this is something that just happened this past week, and I think it's kind of a big deal. The Danish Parliament has dumped its blasphemy laws.
That's pretty awesome.
I think so. So back in 2015, a Danish man posted a video of himself on Facebook basically trashing Islam, and he concluded by burning a copy of the Quran. And as the book burned, he even commented, "Consider your neighbor. It stinks when it burns." Well, authorities were notified, and they brought blasphemy charges against this unnamed blasphemer. Denmark's penal code at that time barred people from publicly insulting or degrading religious doctrines or worship. And this guy was facing 4 months in prison for his video. But now, here in 2017, the case has been dropped after the Danish parliament revoked the 334-year-old legislation and declared they, quote, "do not believe that there should be special rules protecting religions against expressions." Parliament member Bruno.
Well, that is encouraging.
It really is. It only took them 334 years. You know, they got around to it. Parliament member Bruno Gerup. Let me try that again. Parliament member Bruno Gerup, who opposed the law, told the Jyllands Posten newspaper, religion should not dictate what is allowed and what is forbidden to say publicly. It gives religion a totally unfair priority in society.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, I think so. Having a law forbidding people to criticize you, that gives you a big leg up on everybody. You think about it.
It does. Yeah.
But here's something to think about. In doing this story, I was doing a little research, and there are still, in America, there are still 6 states that have blasphemy laws on the books. And
right.
It's funny because you read stuff like, but they're either non-enforceable or they're not going to be enforced. Or I think one of the terms they said, they call them dead letter laws, whatever that means.
They're unenforceable.
Unenforceable. They're still on the records, but basically they're useless.
Right.
But there's one, Pennsylvania is one of the states, and as recently as 1977, which, you know, really isn't that long ago, they were still enacting new blasphemy laws at that point. They were still writing laws in 77. So, I mean, you know, you think we've come a long way, but maybe not so much.
Well, it reminds me of a story, I want to say last year, the year before, of that kid that had taken that picture in front of the statue of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
where he was pretending to receive oral from him.
Yep.
And he got slapped with a huge fine, if I remember right.
I remember that story, and I'm pretty sure, somebody will check me, I'm pretty sure that was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I seem to remember that, because one of my friends was protesting his rights to blaspheme.
I'm pretty sure that was Pennsylvania. And, okay, so, you know, it's really weird, Robert. Something most adults would look at that and say, That's just a stupid teenage thing you do in a spur of the moment kind of thing.
Right.
Nobody's going to go to hell for that. Nobody's going to die. The literal truth is not one person is going to be harmed by that.
No.
In any way. Nothing. There is no harm to that at all. And yet the kid was punished.
Yeah. So, I've heard it said before that blasphemy is a victimless crime. I mean, there is no victim. I mean, it's ridiculous that we even still consider blasphemy as a viable thing.
Well, we're slowly getting rid of it all over the world, but still, I think it's something like roughly a quarter of the countries on the planet still have blasphemy laws. Some of them, especially if you go to the Middle East, I mean, they enforce them there. You know, you can be punished.
You can be killed.
You can be killed, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
For somebody's sake. Yeah. It's
good for Denmark. I'm glad to see they're finally catching up with modern times.
Yeah, and we'll be there too as soon as we eliminate these other six states and get their laws off the books, and we can say we're as advanced as Denmark.
Yeah. One day.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
That's right. We have another Potter Award this week, and this week we go to Arizona and State Representative Mark Finchem. First, we'll look at what brought him to my attention. All members of the Arizona House of Representatives get a turn giving the opening invocation. Althena Salmon took her turn in April and offered an invocation before the start of the day's business. But first-term Democrat from Tempe is an atheist, and her invocation did not reference a higher power. She said, "Take a moment to look around at you and people gathered here today. We come from a variety of backgrounds and interests, but the passion that ignites us, the fire that burns within us, is similar. We all seek to form a more perfect union, creating change from an abiding passion to improve lives of the humans in this city. There is wonder in that. More importantly, there is unity," which is a really good message, especially coming from a state representative. So, but that unity was shattered immediately after the invocation when Representative Mark Finchem, a Republican, objected to the Arizona House leadership because the invocation did not appeal to a higher power. He was then allowed to give a proper prayer that mentioned Jesus. This is not the first time he has objected to a secular invocation. He said that Juan Mendez's invocation from 2016 was also improper. This is a direct quote from him. "I am saddened and offended that a member of this body would knowingly disregard our call for prayer and our house rules." He said that there needs to be a time for prayer, lifting this body up to God that we speak of when we say our Pledge of Allegiance. So according to this guy, it's not a proper prayer unless it mentions a higher power.
It's got to have the stamp of approval. It's got to be sanctioned by not only God, but his God has got to sanction it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Even though he didn't directly say that, you know it's there, especially since he specifically mentioned Jesus in his emergency backup, I think you called it.
That's right. And the way to test the sincerity, because the rule is kind of vague. It just says to a higher power. The way to test that would be to have a Satanist come forward and give an invocation to Satan. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I know it's not going to happen for Mr. Finchem, because during my research, we did a story on him back in episode 43. And it turns out he was opposed to a Satanist prayer in the Phoenix City Council. In fact, he spoke against it. So yeah, got to be his God.
There you go.
Yeah. I didn't include that in here, but now it is. Yeah. That's not all.
43 off the top of your head like that?
No, I wanted to make sure I didn't give him a Potter Award previously because
I got you.
This guy's got history. So I knew. I'm not that good at my show.
That's amazing if you were.
I might just say I am. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's not all. Finchem also promotes and hosts a group called Patriot Academy. Now, we know that Patriot generally stands for, or what Patriot generally stands for, it comes to conservatives, and they did not disappoint here. This is directly from their website. Patriot Academy is a 3 to 7 day boot camp in leadership and government open to students aged 16 to 25. Students delve into political process from inside out as they file legislation, debate bills, campaign for office, and pass laws. In between legislative activities, they receive training on media skills, public speaking, leadership, current issues, and America's heritage, all from a biblical worldview.
Oh.
As I said, they don't disappoint.
They save the best for last.
Yeah. So I was looking at this group, and that's literally what they do. They go around to capitals and teach up-and-coming young politicians how to do it from a Christian worldview, how to be Christian politicians. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't have having Christian politicians or politicians who are Christians, right? Well, but I don't think we should be passing Christian laws.
I don't think so. And you know, there's such a crying need to have more politicians who claim to be Christians. You know, there's a shortage of them. They're what, they only make up what, like 99% of the Congress or
yeah, something like that. You know, 99% of all the politicians in America.
Pretty much.
Well, and wouldn't you know it, the biggest sponsors of this academy are, as someone we already mentioned, American Family Association, a known hate group, and Wall Builders, a known maker-uppers of fake history.
Maker-uppers of history.
Yeah. Now, David Barton.
You're kind of a maker-upper yourself. Did you make up that word, maker-upper?
Yes, I did.
Very good.
I thought it sounded cool. But Wall Builders is David Barton's little group, and he's been, he's well known for not exactly being truthful with his books.
Oh yeah, the historian who never gets history right. Yeah, I know about yeah. David Barton.
Yeah, he says he gets it right because he has the original documents. Yeah, I'm not even getting into David Barton. He's below my pay grade.
Well, suffice it to say that his own publisher pulled his book off the rack because it wasn't accurate.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
If your own publisher dumps on you, you're a liar. That's what it boils down to.
So, Fincham is inviting overtly religious groups to the Capitol to teach lies and hate to future legislators, right? So we got him there. But all of that pales to his own congressional bio. And this is directly from his congressional page. Mr. Fincham can be best described as a man dedicated to serving God first, then the rights of man, a constitutionalist whose favorite USSC opinion language comes from Norton versus Shelby. An unconstitutional act is not law. It confers no rights, it imposes no duties, affords no protection, and creates no office. It is legal contemplation, as inoperative as though it had never been passed. So that's a hell of a bio he's got there. What bothers me is that he's dedicated to serving God first. So my question for him is, why is he not in the clergy? Why is he in here making laws?
Yeah, he's in the wrong building is what it comes down to. But there, you know, he's typical of today's Christian politician. You know, I think they sense they can only do so much preaching to the choir in the church, so they want to get out here and preach to where they can actually do more harm, and that is in the state houses of our governments.
Right. Well, he has on several occasions openly dismissed the intent of the First Amendment. He supports having invocations only to higher powers. He gets offended if it's not to his higher power. He proposes anti-abortion legislation based on his religious views, proposes that Arizona withdraw from the refugee resettlement program, wanted to suspend any contact with his American Islamic Relations Council. Seems he is certainly true to his word that his religion comes before the Constitution and the rights of others. But I'm pretty sure he swore to uphold the Constitution, not the Bible, when he took office.
That's exactly right. And that's your last sentence there. That's the main thrust of the whole argument. You swear on the Constitution, or you swear to uphold the Constitution, not the Bible. Yeah, you do swear on a Bible. On a Bible. Let me try that again.
Yeah, on a Bible.
Yeah, you swear on a Bible, but you're not sworn to do biblical things, if that makes any sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's so frustrating. This is why, this guy is kind of why the Potter Award was created, is to expose people like this who just want to do Christian laws, right? But the same type of guy that would say, well, we can't have Sharia law. It's the hypocrisy of it.
It's not only that, but it's, and the fact that they know it, you know, these aren't stupid people. They're not dumb. They're not uneducated. They know exactly what they're doing. He knows that his laws are no better than Sharia laws. They're the same thing, but he also knows his following. He knows the Christians that voted for him, and he knows what to do and what to say to make sure he's going to get another term in office come election time. And as long as you say Jesus enough or Bible enough as an elected official in this country, you got a pretty good shot of being reelected, regardless of how ineffective you are. So he's playing the religious card, but also for a reason, you know.
Yeah,
he got his own self-interest.
It's always the my way.
I want to point out something that I've noticed too, and your story here is just another example of this. In America, when groups with the name family in their title are some of the worst, most anti-basic rights, I'm going to say. I mean, they're terrible. Look at some of these groups. The Family Research Council.
Yeah.
They're really an anti-LGBT. I mean, everything they say, everything they do is against equal rights. Focus right. on the family, that group.
Yeah.
Really a hate group. The American Family Association. That's the group that sponsors Fincham's little academy there. I mean,
right.
all these groups, they're all religiously based. They think that by sticking that name family in there, that's going to make them friendly and that's going to make them inoffensive and people are going to accept them. But instead of just looking at the names of these groups, look at what they support, what they do. And I don't know. As soon as I see the word family in any organization's name, the alarm bells go off. And it,
yeah, wants absolutely. People,
it makes me want to check them out even more.
Yeah, it throws up a flag. It's just like the word patriot or the word freedom. there are just certain words in a three-word phrase that you know it's this is an extreme right-wing hate group in most cases. Not in every case, but in most cases.
Yeah, it's the camouflage.
Yeah. I mean, it's good marketing, right? Because, you know, they're saying, well, we're family-oriented. Well, you're wrong, family-oriented.
Yeah, know your audience. Know your customer, I guess, is a better way to say it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Certainly do that.
Yep. Anyways, I think that's all the yakking I've got for you this week.
Oh, you don't want to keep yakking? We could do this for another couple of hours if you want to.
Oh, I'm sure we could. But we do have a time limit.
Cool. I'm good with that. Well, Robert, thanks for having me on here. I had a blast. I hope I didn't slow down the show too much.
Oh, just a little bit, but that's okay. No, I had a great time. We'll definitely have to do this again. Maybe we'll get you and Amy on, and we'll see how things go.
Oh, man, that'd be cool.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
My input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye!